Normal hearing. Any?
Okay, all set.
All right. Good morning. This is Commissioner Susan Weefall. The North Dakota Public Service Commission is meeting today in the Capitol Building in Bismarck, North Dakota, 12th floor in our hearing room. Today we're considering case number PU08491, Montana Dakota Utilities Company, a division of MD Resources Group, Inc., the cost of gas and natural gas. This is their cost of gas adjustment. They've asked for some waivers and deviations, maybe not waivers, but deviations from different parts of their cost of gas tariff that the commission is going to be considering today. With me today is Commissioner Kevin Kramer, and by phone, Commissioner Tony Clark. First, I'll go to Commissioner Kramer, see if he has any opening comments.
No, just welcome. Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity on very short notice. Rita, I understand that there's some urgency to this request, obviously. If we're going to implement it, we need to, you know, to take advantage of it, we need to do it quickly. But we felt like we needed to have the opportunity to have a face-to-face and informal to get, to get the full story, if you will, on this. But I understand the purpose of it and appreciate your accommodating our quick turnaround.
Commissioner Clark?
Just welcome and thanks. I appreciate the chance to be able to join by phone. Just as a general reminder, if folks could speak right into those mics, that would be good.
Okay. And then sitting in on the meeting from our staff, assisting us, is Pat Vaughn. And then also we have Rita Mulkern here from MDU, and we also have Dave Thompson sitting in from Prairie Public Radio. All right. With that being said, let's go to Rita. I think the reason that the commission is holding this informal is that we just felt we needed more information on this before we can make a decision on it.
And I appreciate you setting the meeting so quickly, or setting the meeting quickly so that you can receive the information that you need to make a decision by the time frame we requested.
Yep.
As you mentioned, we did request a deviation from our cost of gas tariff on two parts of the tariff. And the first one is a deviation of Section 4A of the tariff that states that the surcharge will be effective October 1 each year and implement an out-of-cycle surcharge to be effective August 1. And just to give a little bit of summary, a surcharge adjustment is basically our true-up of prior period over or under gas cost recoveries. And under our tariff, we do change that once a year, October 1. However, we look at the balances in that account and decide whether or not we need to do an out-of-cycle surcharge if things look like they're getting out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And the current surcharge adjustment was effective October 1, 2007, and is currently a credit of 23 cents per decatherm for firm customers. And we also, on the other side, currently have an under-recovery of gas costs, and it doesn't send the proper price signal to customers to give a credit on the surcharge adjustment when the actual balance is an under recovery. So we're proposing to implement a zero surcharge effective August 1 and then recalculate the surcharge October 1 as scheduled pursuant to our tariff, rather than calculate a surcharge August 1 and then calculate a different surcharge October 1. We'll just zero it out, have a zero surcharge for the months of August and September, and then recalculate as scheduled in October.
What is the current amount of the for firm and interruptible classes? What is the current over recovery of gas costs under recovery?
As of May, we had under recovered $5.7 million in the firm class and $83,000 in the interruptible class.
Now, when we changed, it was just last year that we changed from May to October.
Yep.
And at that time, you told us, okay, this is going to solve all of our problems regarding under-recovery or over-recovery.
I don't think that was quite the characterization.
Well, that was going to be a much more accurate.
Yeah, that might be better.
Much more accurate. And so why are we running into, in May already,
we lost 20. Okay.
All right. Well, wait then a minute.
Okay.
Thank you, Janet.
Okay, we'll start. Do you want us? Where did we lose you, Tony?
Actually, you lost me right while I was saying good morning. So just keep going where you were, and that's fine.
All right.
Okay, we just had the explanation from Rita, and we're just asking Rita to explain to us that we had said that we just changed from a May to October true-up cycle for MDU last year, and we were told that that would address many of the problems of these over and under recoveries. But so I'm asking, what happened? Why, with this new cycle, are we again out of whack? Because she just told us that they had under-recovered $5.6-something million as of May of 2008 from firm and non-firm customers. Okay?
Okay. If you recall, last year when we switched our annual surcharge from a May 1 date to an October 1 date, that was done in order to keep our storage injection and withdrawal season within one cost of gas period.
Yes.
And so that when we were taking gas out of storage and then replacing that gas, that would fall within the same time period.
So that we would have a more accurate idea of costs.
So that we wouldn't be recovering the one period of the injection season and a different period, or excuse me, one period from the withdrawal season, and then a different cost of gas time period for the injection season. It brought them together. And that's, I mean, that was a good thing to do to bring those together. What happened now is basically that the price of natural gas has been so much higher than anyone had anticipated. When we took gas out of storage in January, we priced it at the estimated summer price. No one anticipated that summer price would be what it is today. It's, you know, unprecedented high levels for a summer price.
I don't quite understand, though, why you don't, when you take it out of storage, why you don't price it at the level that it cost you to put it in. So the cost of gas that you were using last January was not at the cost coming up in the future. It was at the cost that you put it in last summer. So why is there a difference? Why are we charging the customers ahead of time for gas that you're using out of storage instead of charging them at the price that you paid to inject storage last year?
The way that the gas storage works, you do exactly what you've said. You take gas out at the last price, but you do that on a calendar year basis. So when you get to the end of the year, you say, what did I take more gas out of storage or less gas out of storage? On a monthly basis, we have what we call interim accounting, and that says that if you're taking gas out of storage in January and you know you're going to replace it, you take it out at the cost you expect to replace it.
Why do you have to do it that way? Why don't you take it out at the price that you paid for it? That explanation still didn't make sense to me.
We do
what,
on
what,
an annual
what
basis.
Price do you, when do I ever pay for the gas at last year's price, at the price you paid for it? Next January, you're telling me, I am not going to be paying the price for gas that you're paying to inject it this summer. I'm going to have a new price. It's going to be the price you pay next summer for my gas that I am buying in January.
You will pay what gas we take out of storage. You will pay exactly what that gas was injected at in the end. It's a timing. It's an accounting matter or an accounting rules that require when you use this method of when you use this LIFO method of accounting, it is on a calendar basis, not on a monthly basis. And the reason that underlies this is it's really getting at, you have this gas in inventory. Under this LIFO accounting, if you're injecting gas every year and withdrawing gas about the same amounts, the value of that inventory will never change, because you're going to take out gas that you put in and take it out and put it back in, and you don't affect the value. Under this, that's the requirements of this type of LIFO accounting. If we tried doing it the other way, what would end up happening is we would be continuing to raise the value of that storage gas.
And why not? If it costs more to put it in and it's a higher price, why wouldn't it have more value in storage?
Because we are currently what we call cycling our storage. We pretty much take out our, you know, absent weather conditions, we will take out gas and we will put back that exact amount of gas. We're just cycling. We're putting it in and taking it out. So we don't want to be, if you're taking gas out and putting it back in, and you're basically the amount of gas you have in storage at the end of the year stays the same.
Yes.
The value of that storage doesn't change. And customers are paying in this current year precisely what we purchased the gas at.
Rita, does that gas in storage also affect the rate base and return to the company?
The return is included through this cost of gas adjustment. That's one of the components of the cost of gas is the return on storage.
What? So if you had storage that was valued at a higher level, the customer would be paying a higher level of return to the company.
That's correct. But you know, the point is that that's gas and storage. We're using that gas and storage, taking gas out to serve our customers, replacing that gas back, and that storage is really staying the same at the end of each year, absent weather conditions. And the value of that storage should not change when you're merely taking gas out and putting it back in. And that's this. We're following this LIFO accounting. It is a FERC method or a FERC authorized method.
But there are other methods.
There is the first in, first out method.
And I thought that's what we were using.
MDU has never, that I know of.
No, I think we elected to go to last in, first out in the 60s, and we've continually used that method. And it does overall work well because customers are paying the current cost of gas for the gas that they're using. There's a timing difference between month to month, but customers will pay for their gas what we purchased the cost of that gas at that year.
But I'm not paying for the gas that's already been put in storage. In January, I am not paying the price of gas at the price you put it into storage in the summer previously. I am paying the price of gas that you're paying after
this
summer.
Because 6 months later, you look at it this way, when we're cycling gas, we take it out of storage and we put it back in storage. And the accounting is done on a calendar year basis, so we're starting fresh in January every year. I'm taking gas out in January. I know I'm going to put it back in the summer. I'm borrowing it. So I'm going to take it out, and I'm going to take it out at the price that I'm going to be paying in the summer because that's really the gas. I'm borrowing it. I'm going to put it back. And so it's priced at that summer price.
You know, but why, it's so hard. It would be so much easier for you. I just don't understand this accounting method in the way, because you wouldn't have to guess anymore what the price is going to be in the summer if you just didn't do it on that year basis and you did it on a June 1st to July 1 to June 30th year basis.
Well, you could just buy gas on the spot market then, too. And
well, you know, we are required to account for our gas in a method, and we are a calendar year company, so we have to run our accounting. We do monthly accounting, but our calendar year is what we are a calendar month company fiscally. So from accounting standpoint, we run January to December. Bottom line, customers end up paying for gas at the cost of that gas. And the storage method or the accounting method we use for storage, it is a FERC-accepted method. It has worked very well for us. And there's can be aberrations either way. We can take gas out in January, and it ends up costing less when we replace it, which was the case in prior years. But at the bottom, you know, at the end of the year, customers are paying what it cost us to purchase that gas.
Rita, why are you able to say that with confidence?
Yeah.
That the customers pay what the price of that gas?
Because when we take the gas out in January, we estimate the summer price. When we put that gas in the summer, we do that true-up that goes into that deferred account for the difference between what we thought we would pay and what we actually paid.
You know, that's the same thing you told us, though, last year when you went to this October 1st date. You said this is going to enable us to know better what we paid for natural gas, and so we're not going to have so much trouble with the true-up. I can't understand what changing to the October 1st date then did at all.
But that I understand that.
Tell me that then.
But because the thing that we're dealing with today, for a moment, as I understand it, is because of what we all know has happened. And that is, nobody anticipated that gas was going to be this price. And so the doing the true up, doing this deviation, I understand the value of the deviation. Because it's just, otherwise we're just going to add two more months, and the deficit's going to get greater, and then the true up is going to be that much more pronounced. So if I understand the basics right, but what you're talking about now, it's the true up that ensures that at the end of a year, people will pay, customers paid the price of the gas, whether it's a credit or whether it's a charge. That's what ensures that at the end of 12 months, they paid for the gas at the price that you purchased it.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I understand, too, why she would be coming in now. But what I'm trying to figure out is, you know, and you've explained it to me now, that it doesn't make any difference what the price of gas was last summer. You guessed at that again last January. And it's just hard for me to understand, instead of guessing what it's going to be ahead of time, why you just don't use the previous year's know what it was. And is there a form of accounting that could do that, so that in October you can know what the price is for that you've paid the, you know, in the summertime? Is there a different accounting method that you can use so that we don't have to guess what the price is going to be in the summertime, lower or higher?
We've elected to go with the last in, first out accounting. We did that in early the 60s or 70s. To change that would require probably be a disadvantage to the company and our customers because of the tax effect with the IRS of changing the method of accounting. And if I can go back a little bit, last year's situation was where kind of the inverse of this situation. We estimated gas costs in January at the summer price, but then we stopped and we calculated a true up. And then when we replaced that gas, it was a lower price than we had anticipated, but that was in a different true up period. So we were splitting the two events, the taking gas out of storage and putting it back in, into separate true up periods. And that was causing problems because it wasn't matching. And so we changed to the October period so that we could match, so that the taking gas out of storage and put it back were both in the same true up period. And that's, you know, we believe that was a good thing to do. What happened in this case, though, is because the cost of gas was so high this summer compared to what anyone had anticipated, if it had been most years what we estimate, it's never exact, but it's generally fairly close.
So what did
you
guess?
This is so high.
What did you guess this year?
We guessed that the summer price would be about $6. And summer price is much higher than $6.
Did you make that guess last October?
No, we would have done that in January. And that would have been based on prices in January and the futures prices in January.
Why would it have you make your cost adjustment in October?
We make our true up adjustment in October.
And that's the number then that goes on our customers' bills in for up until this point. So what are you guessing? You're guessing the cost of gas in, for what reason in January? How does that affect our numbers?
Okay, we're kind of talking about two different things.
All right, here. And I need to understand.
Yeah, one is the true up, and that true up is just looking each month. We look at what our customers paid for natural gas, and then we looked at what our actual costs were. And the difference between what our customers paid and our actual costs goes into that deferred account,
yep,
whether over or under.
Yep, I understand that.
And then once a year we take that point in time and say, here's the balance for the October one surcharge.
Right.
Here's the most recent balance available, and we'll amortize it over the next year.
Right. Okay, so what's this guessing the price of gas in January?
Just before, one thing I just have to say, nobody's, quote, guessing. I mean, I hope we're not implying, Rita, that you guys all sit up down there on 4th Street and guess what the price of gas is next year. You're not the only people in the world that project price. There are futures markets, there are
indicators. It's an estimate based on information.
Okay, based on information.
So that trip goes.
Why do you bother with that in January?
Well, we're required to, and as part of LIFO accounting, when we take gas out of storage in January, we estimate what we were going to replace that, the summer replacement price, because it's all falling within the same calendar year, accounting year. So we estimate a price at that time, a summer price. We estimate it based on what the prices are at the time and what the futures markets are, and there's other factors we look at and come up with. This is what we think the summer price is going to be, and we will take gas out of storage at that price. And then when it comes to the injection season, when we put gas back, we put it back at that same price into our storage. And the difference then goes into the deferred or the true-up account. When you get to the end of the summer, customers have paid the same, have paid the actual cost of gas. It's a timing difference. And that timing difference is what ends up going into the true-up account.
Rita, if you had projected in January of this year, if you had projected what the price of gas would be based on last year's prices, the surcharge now would have to be, you would have to be asking for an even higher surcharge, is the way I perceive it.
Yeah, part of the problem is that we experienced some very low gas costs last summer and last fall. And not all companies, that was kind of a situation where we were able to get, it was good for us.
It was very good for MDU customers. It was $3 and $4 a decatherm.
But if we had estimated it, as Pat said, if we had estimated gas costs for this summer based on last summer, we would have underestimated way the cost of natural gas for July, just like the index price, is 2.5 times what it was a year ago.
So that's why, let me just get this straight then. So last summer, you projected higher than it was, let's say you did.
A year ago in the winter.
You had lower gas prices. So at that point in October, you said, okay, we projected that they were going to be lower than higher than the actual cost. So then we needed to put this credit on.
And that's part of it. That's not the only reason we have an over under recover. There are other differences, but that's what drove last year from into an under recovery situation.
You're going to have a huge, but this is only going to recover $275,000, and you're $5.6 million behind. So we're going to have a huge.
We'll have an increase in the surcharge in October, and at that point, we'll look at we'll look at options too, if it is very large.
Why in May didn't you come to the commission?
In May, the information we had, if you look at the balances in our filing, it wasn't that great. And there's a, in May we hadn't even started, or we barely started in injecting gas back into storage. So in May, we wouldn't have known this.
Even though you said as of May we have a shortage of 5.6.
As of the May PGA period would have been, see, this is, when we filed this in July, the most recent information was May. To get a May PGA, you're looking at February information. And at that time, we had a $2 million under recovery. And at that time, we still didn't know that gas prices are going to be as high as they are right now. They've been going up every month. Traditionally, they do go down in the summer. They might stay up through June, but they've traditionally gone down. So even when we prepared the May PGA, the prices at that time would not have said we would be paying these higher price this summer.
What bothers me is the gas I'm using, it's a whole year off then, as far as, it's a whole year off from the true cost of gas. When I'm purchasing gas from MDU in January, I'm paying your projected cost, not the actual cost. And I don't pay that then until starting in October of the next year or some other date. I'm paying a projected price. I always thought I was paying the price of the gas that you injected the previous summer, and I understand now I'm not.
Okay, when we use gas, because we use gas in January,
using that gas and paying for it, the gas.
But as long as I've been here, you've been a last in, first out. I mean, that was clear to me the first time we talked, I think.
And you also remember we.
But I can
understand talking about
last
the gas
in first out. But I didn't know that the price wasn't the price that last in. I thought was what they were injecting in September of the.
So you mean that you thought it meant the actual gas itself?
It yeah.
Didn't
and
have
I
any
paid
association
the
to price.
Well, no, I thought I was paying the price that they had injected it at the previous summer, not what was going to be forecast as the price the next summer.
Okay, and you have to remember, too, that they were talking just about the gas that we're pulling in out of storage. We still have flowing supplies throughout the year, and those are at the current price. What you're paying in your bill right now
is the flowing price.
Is exactly what we're paying. The only piece that isn't that price is the piece out of storage. And the way you've described the accounting, how you perceive it, on a calendar year basis, that's true. If we end up with less gas in our storage at the end of the year, what you end up paying is those layers. We have layers of gas from the previous year. But if you're in a situation where you're purely cycling and injecting gas and withdrawing the same amounts, then you're not going to see that. You're not going to see any change in the inventory value.
And all we do is we never get the benefit for the customers, and maybe that's good, Pat can tell us, of that lower price gas that was put in maybe 10 years ago and still sitting down there. The customers never get the benefit of that gas.
The customers get the benefit through we get a return on that storage value, and the customers benefit because that return is lower because the inventory value hasn't changed. If we priced our storage value at today's market, you know, we would be talking 5 to 10 times the value that it is that customers pay on now. Mm-hmm. And that's what the intent of this last and first storage is, to keep that storage inventory value stable, because you're merely injecting gas, withdrawing gas, and keeping it
and
stable.
And that has been one consistent since I've been here that I've noticed, is that has remained quite stable.
It'll only change if you have an extremely cold winter and you have to
draw it out,
and then if you replace it at a much higher price. Mm-hmm. And the way we target our storage is at the beginning of the winter heating season, November 1, is when we have the most gas in storage. And then we will draw that down, but we don't take it all out. We always keep some gas in storage through the summer months, or some, because we need a cushion, what we call cushion gas. Mm-hmm. We also keep enough in there, so if you have a colder than normal winter, we have enough gas in storage. But if it's normal weather, we're just going to keep, every October they'll have, say, 12 BCF of gas in storage, and that value will always be the same.
So basically this proposed adjustment during the month of August, $257,000, and then we'll have that same amount probably, maybe it'll be a little more because maybe people start using a little more gas in September. So let's say it's even $500,000. But then we're still talking about a $5 million shortfall.
We are. And it seems large. We've had larger amounts in the past. And once we get to the point where we know what for the October purchase gas cut, for the October true-up, we will be using the August balance. So at that point, we'll know what that balance is. Mm-hmm. And if it's extremely large, we'll look at options. We'll look at running it over 2 years instead of one. We'll look at, you know, what can we do to help. We're also sending out later this week, and I'm not sure if you had a chance. I know you were sent a copy of the mailing we're going to send to customers about to try to prepare them for the next winter heating season's gas costs and what they can do. We're trying to, you know, help our customers, we'll make customers aware that gas costs are going to be very high next winter. And our gas costs were what we really would call unusually low last winter.
Right. And I think
the contrast is going to be greater than if we hadn't had such low gas costs.
It's like with the fuel cost adjustment with Otter Tail. It had gone down due to a refund, and then, of course, it went way up, of course, with their Big Stone costs. And so, you're right. It was an anomaly, really, last fall for MDU customers to have $3-$4 natural gas. It was a wonderful thing for a short period of time. But they're really going to see the differences this year. People on budget billing already seeing the differences because we're paying the current cost of gas on a monthly basis even let's say I use 120 decatherms and I'm being charged for 10 decatherms a month at the current cost of gas, you know.
And that's going to help because you're starting to see that now. It won't be such a shock in the winter.
Yeah.
Because you're starting to pay for that now.
Right.
And that is when we encourage customers to look at going on balance billing because that does help smooth out the bills.
Yeah. But so I've already been able to see that rate shock, on there. I understand this one now.
I'm still, though, I understand it, but my question then, Rita, would be, what is the practical, I mean, I think I understand the impact, but what if we didn't do this? You know, the number is so large, that the true-up number is so large, that is this worth it?
I think it's worth it from the standpoint of we're giving customers a step. By zeroing it out, customers are going to see a 23-cent increase in their bills starting August mm-hmm. and September. And granted, they're not using a lot of consumption, but they'll see that increase. Mm-hmm. They'll see another increase October 1. If we didn't make this change, they'd see the whole increase October 1, and that would be more of a shock.
So this just helps relieve the shock a little.
That's really what it is.
Yeah. Right, and I wish we could have started it in June, but what you're telling us is even though this dates back to May, as of May, you didn't know at that time.
As of May, we would not have anticipated that the cost of gas would continue to increase and be as high as it is in the summer.
I know.
It is a pay me now or pay me later situation, though. And, you know, when we talk, you talk about, well, you know, a year from now we'll assess it and we'll look at the August balance and maybe if it's really bad, we'll take 2 years. See, you've heard me say for 4 years, there's a new normal that is settling in, and I'm not sure. You know, at some point we can't always be adjusting to anomalies because the anomaly is normal,
right.
And everybody's solution has. That's right. I'm preparing myself for a different world. But at any rate,
well, that's what too. By using out of cycle surcharges, it gives us the opportunity when we see things going a certain way to step out of that annual cycle and do an out of cycle and change it. Without saying we're going to do it every 6 months, we always have the opportunity to come in if it looks like it's getting out of balance and ask for a change.
Yeah.
And any publicity that you can have through your department about higher, you know, you saw the article in the paper today, or maybe you didn't, about Commissioner Clark's comment and our comments yesterday about natural gas prices going up. But I think it's worth it to have, is Dan Sharp still doing your...
No, Dan retired.
Oh, yes, Dan Sharp. And so you have a new person.
Yes, Mark Hansen.
I'd get him out there talking to the news media now in August about how last fall we had $4 natural gas because of a special situation. That is not going to be the case this year. Natural gas prices have gone up, and tell them what they are. Is it $12, you know, whatever it is right now, and that you're paying, and say this is... And last January, you were paying double what you were in, and just lay it out, because it's not a pleasant story. But the people have to hear it, and because otherwise, they're not going to be able to plan. And we're going to be able. People are going to say, "Well, you didn't tell us." And we heard that so much from Otter Tail people. You didn't. You told us it was going to go up, but we didn't know how bad it was going to be. I want to have people know how bad it's going to be. So bad that they're going to say it's better than what I thought.
Yeah. You know, was Mark's comment? You guys anticipate about $350 throughout the course of the year increase. Did I read that in one of the stories, either the AP story or Lauren's?
That does sound familiar, but I can't remember. And what we communicated to you today is an advance notice what we are sending to customers, and it gives some of that information. And that's kind of the first part. I agree with you. We do need to inform our customers, and we intend on informing them, as you said, so that they can plan for it.
Do we have that? Is it a press release or what is it? It's a customer notice. I don't remember seeing that in my inbox.
I haven't seen it, but I did hear. I heard that you guys are doing a bill stuffer, and
so
I thought Excel did something too. But
I think Tammy was just sending that out this morning to you.
Because I'm saying I have not seen it.
And it probably just either she hadn't sent it out or it hadn't gotten to you before the meeting.
Or something. Yeah,
and I might have just read it in Mark's comments. Even I don't remember. But over the course of the last week or two. All of the companies have started doing some communication, I noticed, and which is why I said I was joining the Bell Choir.
She sent it out today, all right?
Yes, please, and that we will be sending to customers yet, I believe, this month,
mm-hmm.
and to inform them and to get them planning, to get them thinking, to encourage conservation, encourage budget billing, just anything that they can do that we can do to help
switching
customers.
Electricity, all those kinds.
Well, that one, I don't think. I think we do have a comparison in there. Natural gas, and that's what this isn't just something that's hitting natural gas. It's hitting all fuels.
It's dragging everything up.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And when I look at the prices they're paying for propane down there in Hettinger, my God. Have any of your accounts switched over to something else? I had some different questions.
We really haven't seen that.
Okay.
Wood burning.
Just interesting.
Tony, do you have any questions that haven't been answered?
Okay, then we have the next. Go ahead, Tony.
No, I don't have any questions. I've been listening in. And
okay, then we have the next question now, which is another one. There's a separate question now. Yeah. Also requests deviation from Section 2A of its Rate 88 tariff, which specifies that the cost of gas be implemented with bills rendered effective on the first date of each month. You request to continue implementation of the COG adjustment on a service rendered basis for bills submitted to customers in August and September. Now, just remind us a little bit as we talk about this. You were in earlier this year because you were installing meters, and I thought we had approved this for like May, and they had gone back already to the normal method. So refresh my memory on what I approved earlier this year.
Well, we earlier you approved it for through June, and we finished installing all the equipment. We're now still in the implementation process in that we're looking at how's the best way to read meters now that we have this equipment, and we're still going through and changing bill cycles. And so customers may receive a longer bill or shorter bill. And so we want to, with the volatility of gas prices, we want to, it, so that customers will be paying for the gas when they used it. And so it's a continuation of before. While we're done putting in all the meters, it's going to take a while to get through all the efficiencies and determine all the efficiencies of our new automated meter reading system. So we'd like this to continue through September. We do intend, and I stated this before, and we didn't get to come to you and ask for that on a permanent basis, to implement it on a service rendered basis all the time. So that when you get your bill on, say, September 15th, it would have 15 days at the September rate and 15 days at the August rate.
But we're not, are we approving this permanently right today?
No, this is approving it through September.
Okay, so
that
wait.
We can come in.
We'll wait to hear.
So that we will come in and actually request to change our tariff and change the language in the tariff. And then that way every month it would be on a service rendered basis. But until we get that tariff change, we need to ask for a deviation of our tariff.
Well, I can understand this one, and I would agree this is a good plan, especially with the volatile cost of natural gas right now. We've heard from people who, on the Otter Tail case again, that was a great example of how we heard from people who were not happy that they were billed at a certain cost, even though their bill came out on, let's say, February 2nd instead of January 30th, first or something, and they paid a completely different price. So we haven't heard from customers that they're really confused by this.
No, they haven't been.
I mean, so I'm okay with doing this for a couple more months. Then we can evaluate when you come back for your permanent. How about you, Kevin?
That's fine. Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense.
And Tony, do you have any concerns about that?
No, thanks.
All right. Okay, so now what's our next issue here is when we hold a special meeting.
Vote on it.
Yes, so when would you like to vote on that?
Well,
we need about a half hour lead time.
Yes,
on a special meeting.
Sure.
Well, we do, and we need to be able to call.
And we want to notice
people.
It appropriately. Yeah.
Right. And so, Tony, what's your schedule today, and do you wish to be part of that special meeting, or do you want Kevin and I to go ahead?
Well, it depends what time it is, but if you do it, relatively soon, I can sure participate by phone. If it gets beyond about probably 1 or 1:30, I'm probably either going to be out of cell range or just not able to take it.
Well, let's do 1. What do we do?
Yeah, we can do it at 1, unless you want to do it do you want to do it at 11:45 or something, get done before lunch, Pat? Is there an advantage? Or can you be ready?
I don't think we should have it any earlier than 11:30.
Right. I would
Would you be available at 1, or would it be work better for you at 11:45?
Well, 11:45 is more solid than 1, but I probably would be available at 1. If that's the best time, go ahead and do it. I probably will be there if for whatever reason you call and I just, you know, it's,
sure,
I'm out of coverage or whatever, then, you know, just go ahead and have it. I'm fine with that.
Let's do 11:45 unless there's a strong objection.
That's fine.
You think so too? Okay.
Nope, I'm fine. So I'm available. Mm-hmm. We have the motion. Is the motion correct?
I'll be revising that.
Okay. Thank you.
Based on the
discussion today. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Did you have any recommendations for the commission after sitting and hearing through this? Do you have any recommendations?
I would recommend it.
Because I recommend that it would be approved.
Okay.
And through those months that MDU is including in the request, and we can take another look at it in October.
Because we didn't have a recommendation from staff on any either of these matters, did we?
That is my recommendation.
All right. Thank you.